Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Anyway, yes, starring me in Mendham. So I'm going to talk a little bit about journalism. There's no such thing. So it's all fake news now, right? It's all advocacy journalism. There's no such even idea of some kind of fair cop journalist or something, some kind of disciplined journalist who just looks for the facts and all that kind of crap. They're all advocates for positions, and that's all. And so there's no yellow journalism, it's just green and brown, you know, I mean, it's not, it's shit, okay. There's just no point in pretending they do it in any kind of, they have some method or some way of doing, no, none of that's true. And it's, some people hate this, but I mean, I can compare it to what's happened to science. Science is also just full of advocates for silly notions. And that's it. They're not really saying, well, what do the facts really indicate? And do I have a rational response to some kind of critique? It's just clubs, you know, string theory. It doesn't have anything going for it. It's just that some people believe it, and that's it, okay? Otherwise, it's convoluted nonsense. There's no way anybody could show it to you. Here it is. Do you get it? You get how it completely explains everything? No, it doesn't. It's a little worm theory, wiggling worms at the center of, you know, the foundation of the universe is little wiggly worms, and they make symphonic music, like somehow they're, you know, they're writing opuses of music, and that's the waves that make us into things. And I mean, it's just too fucking silly. I mean, it makes Muslims look rational. It's so bad. Journalism is just, it's not even close to a science, so obviously it's just even more bullshit. Then you got the whole AI thing, you know, that just constructs eloquent words, verbiage, very well constructed paragraphs and sentences, saying absolutely nothing except, what does the majority say? Or what do the authorities, say? And, it's just really bad. It's not a great time for listening to sources, you know, that have no obligation to be sincere or real. So, you know, I can't, you know, how can I prove I'm not a synthetic anymore? How can I prove I don't have a secret agenda? There's no way. So you should be suspect of everything. You have to be suspect of everything. And it's all very disappointing. So as a related subject, you know, in having this channel, I have had people, the haters, and, I've been swatted, false. And this started 20 years ago, you know, because I got into an argument with somebody before Google existed, right, about internet indexing, and, you know, because everybody was trying to cheat. Everybody was trying to get their business to the top of the list. And it was all full of lies and cheating and chicanery and shenanigans. And I called shenanigans. And they came after me. And, that's the joke of it. It's just too dangerous to be a good person on planet Earth, because there's way too many unaccountable evildoers, quote unquote. So people would contact the mayor of the town I lived in, you know, causing all kinds of grief between me and the local government for no reason, you know, and it's all stuff that, you know, you have to have spend times to explain how the internet works and how these people are irrelevant. But, you know, when people are getting emails from anonymous kooks, they just don't want the trouble. They don't want to have to deal with it as any kind of peripheral issue, even though you point out how, you know, just ignore it. They're just, you know, cranks. They're just saying, I don't want to deal with your cranks. So that evolved into, you know, the circumstance where you really can't have any interactions with people anymore. You know, even people you agree with are dangerous because they can backstab you. And, you know, so you're just saying, okay, so I have to interact with the internet in this way, you know, where basically it's just a one-way street. I'll just say my little piece. You can choose or not choose to listen to it. And that's the extent of the relationship, because anything else is dangerous. you know, and it's just true. all right. And then, well, the nature of the philosophy is itself delicate, you know, because it is it's not a happy story. It doesn't have a happy ending. And it's a serious circumstance. And, you know, it's serious. And obviously people aren't made to deal with anything serious. They're silly and frivolous and stupid. And so they do, you know, they don't know what to do when it's a serious subject. So there's a couple of these reporters just writing, you know, that's just absolute crap. You know, so they send me emails saying, oh, I'm not going to do a hit piece and I'm not going to be a shithead. You know, I'm not going to talk trash. And they're just lying. you know, you ask for a little consideration. It's like, well, you know, I don't publish under my name. So just, you know, I'm InMendum on the internet. Why can't you just use InMendum? Why do you have to talk about where my geography is, where the closest lighthouse is? What, you know, why is any of this shit relevant? And this is, you know, you find out that these are people hiding under pseudonyms, hiding under fake names. So, you know, you're just like, oh, okay. So you can out me, but I can't out you. All right. That's not part of the agreement. So part of the agreement is, no, you, if you're going to publish trash about me, you publish under your own name. You know, so, you know, but it's just about gang warfare, you know, and this is how you do it. You subtly say to the gang, hey, you know what? Here's their real name. You know, you could find out where they live and, you know, call the mayor. You know, that's all it is. And there's no pretense of anything else. They're just trying to hurt people. You know, because they can't win the argument. They can't make an actual argument showing you to be crazy or silly or stupid or psychotic or any of the other kind of words they're going to use. You're too eccentric or you're too something. So the one woman, whatever, I so want women to succeed in the world, you know, and just show that their brain is just as capable of doing 2+2 kind of logic as a male brain. And they so often disappoint. But anyway, just silly bullshit, you know. And so I'm going to read the actual interaction in terms of, you know, she's pretending we had a conversation. That never happened. You know, we exchanged some emails, and that's it. You know, and she basically was saying, I'm not doing a hit piece. Well, yeah, you are. That's exactly what you did. Talking about, you know, my backgrounds and my hair and, you know, where I am. And what does any of that have to do with anything? And then using 1%, less than, let's understand, less than 1% of my videos am I raging against something. You know, in a mood, let's say, less than 1%, a lot less than 1% of my videos. And so, because some trolls quote mine out of 20,000 videos, they can quote mine 5. Okay. Where, you know, I'm, a, you know, having a moment of some kind. And they'll say, that's my video profile. That's what I do on the internet. And it's such a disgustingly stupid lie. You know, it's such a fake and phony presentation of what I talk about, what's important to me, what subjects matter. You know, and it really is that kind of 1,000 to 1. That's the ratio. They're using the 1 and they're forgetting about the other 999 videos about a completely different subject. You should call him bullshit. Even she implies that I have multiple channels for some covert reason or some other reason than because that's the way the audience wanted it. They wanted each of the subjects segregated from each other because some people couldn't stand that I was for circumcision or for this or for that. And therefore they had, they went hysterical. Couldn't take watching a video, unless that content was segregated. I had to segregate the physics videos because, people just couldn't stand that I was being anti-scientific, Hilarious. They couldn't stand that I was being the complete me. They couldn't like the complete me, is the simple truth. So, there's just no way to win, frankly. It's not gonna be too easy to find somebody for which you agree on every single subject in exactly the same proportion. All I can do is make arguments in defense of my case, in the sense that I know I've offended some people because I said, the Democrats they didn't lose. Trump didn't win. The Democrats lost. Okay, that their agenda it doesn't have anything to do with anything reasonable or useful. Nothing. I mean, it's just they're just basically saying, how can we self-destruct completely? And be absolutely useless. And that's what they've become. So any moron, any piece of shit can run against one of them because, yes, they're defending stuff that's unsustainable, retarded nonsense. It doesn't work, okay? Open immigration doesn't work. It's an insanely silly idea. You have a sophisticated and complex civilization that has created a gigantic social safety net and all kinds of protections and laws and things, and you're basically saying, let's see if we can destroy all that. I mean, it's just too silly. Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that argument. But, see, as soon as you say something, then you have to defend what you're saying. And so, in all these videos, I'm basically saying nature sucks. And the counter argument is, no, it's perfect. It makes perfectly rational sense. Everything should die horribly and be turned into fertilizer so they can do it over and over again. Because dying horribly is fun and profitable. Can't you just hear the ching ching from the disease and death? I mean, it's just such a great idea. Yeah, disease and death. Let's do that. That's a winner. No, it's a profound loser. If you don't believe in intelligent design, our God, then you're stuck with unintelligent design, and unintelligent design is finger painting. It's poo on a stick. It's not, you can't do anything good. The odds of the monkeys typing Shakespeare, right? I could have a million monkeys for a bazillion for an infinite amount of time, and they're still not going to type Shakespeare. It's really not going to happen. And that's the truth of it. The odds of the system with no intelligence doing something smart is pretty much zero. So how do you defend that we did that miraculous thing, that somehow it all worked out just fucking fine and it's running a perfect balance? We're taking in just as much as we're losing. bullshit we are. So there's no counter argument. There's just religion. If you're either an atheist who feels pretty bad that, okay, it's pretty much a shit-averse, a suffering-averse, a wasted suffering-averse, and that's the sad circumstance we're part of. Now, we can either do something about it, or we can just sit there and say, I don't give a fuck. I'm too busy eating my pudding. and obviously I'm saying, not giving a fuck really isn't an option if you have any kind of intelligence, because your intelligence will realize that what's happening to them could be happening to me. I could be the crocodile food. And if I don't want to be the crocodile food in the future, I have to do something now to prevent it. Yes, so that much logic is impossible for them to counter with some sort of reasonable rhetoric. All right. So, let's just get to there's these two brown journalists. Okay, they're not brown, but yeah, obviously what they, the crap they spew is brown. And in terms of it's not anywhere close to the facts and the truth isn't what they're after. They're just after slander and maligning and directly threatening in a way. That's what their game is to, isolate and attempt to scare people out of their free speech. Yeah, it's part of it. Part of the game they're playing is to try to threaten you out of talking, saying anything controversial, anything against the mob. the mob is right. We know the mob is right because the mob told us the mob is right. And that's all they have. All right, so here's a quote from the journalist using the fake name who won't let me publish under a fake name. Okay, yeah. I'm among the only journalists, joke. She's a journalist by meme. She, she's some other place where she said some kind of, somebody emailed me this crap. But anyway, she's talking about how she just declared herself a journalist. Okay, she didn't go to journalism school or anything like that. All right, to have covered it, Effelism. So she's saying she's the only journalist to have covered it. So clearly, Benatar's book, right in the second page, he says, everything I'm saying about human existence applies to animals. So essentially, by that statement, he would have to be called an Effelist, in the sense that his diagnosis of the condition is that it's in dire straits. It's in a bad condition. Okay, it's a bad thing. But he's not to do anything about it, so that's all. He's just basically said, yes, it sucks, but too bad. You can't change anything, so you have to just live with it sucking forever. All right, so in that sense, he's different than me, in the sense that I logically know that, you can eradicate smallpox, and we did. And you can eradicate the existence of sentient life on Earth, and you can do it in ways that are perfectly reasonable. Fair, decent. All right, anyway. And the only one who's done so at length. So my point is obviously journalists have covered Benatar and antinatalism, so she's hardly the only one. Anyway, it has long been a source of controversy within antinatalist communities. So somehow there's these antinatalist communities that have some sort of integrity as a community. That somehow we need to go ask the antinatalist community, whatever that would be, okay? And that's sort of the joke here. So the whole reason why I became an Effelist was partly because of Derived Energy, who was the first, you could argue, antinatalist who would use that term, okay, the Benatarian language, the first one to bring up Benatar. Clearly, his nihilism, the fact that he didn't care, okay, he didn't care about sentient organisms. He just thought life was stupid. He didn't think it was, pointlessly wasteful of something valuable called suffering. He just thought it was stupid. And therefore, you shouldn't do it because it's stupid. It doesn't do anything. It's not productive. So it wasn't about its destructiveness. It was just about its unproductiveness. And so clearly I wanted to make a distinction between myself and anything called an antinatalist, because frankly, that philosophy has nothing to do with me. So why would I care, frankly, right? And why would it be relevant what antinatalists believe? Because antinatalists obviously don't give a shit about animals. So they're obviously retarded. Obviously. I mean, what's their rationale? Are they really like religious kooks? Do they really think God made animals to be our servants and to be used by us in any way or manner we choose? and that's somehow rational? They could be tortured with liberty. Go ahead. no consequence, doesn't mean anything. If that's anti-natalism, fuck it. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with it. All right, it's been linked, sometimes tenuously. So why are you bringing it up? If this is, these are tenuous links, you're conceding the point that they're tenuous, they're not necessarily very valid or real, and here you are just implying that, see, well, they've implied that they're child molesters, so as long as I say the word child molester, I've put it in your head, so now you know they're child molesters. I mean, what's the point of that? Okay. To violence. So, of course, nothing, the inventor of effelism, okay, hasn't suggested anybody do anything violent. There's no violent solution to the problem. The only case in which there would be is in a case where you have a real civil war or a real, it's really time where violence has to be used. But there's no violence today. There's no violence next week that's going to be at all appropriate. Including both completed and attempted suicide. So again, so suicide is some sort of violence against who? So again, it's a whole belief system. So she thinks a suicide is the same as a homicide. And clearly there haven't been any homicides that are anything other than irrationally linked. Okay, so it's complete. People who have completely opposite values, I mean declared opposite values, where they actually say you have too many values, you believe in value, you're an idiot. That kind of extreme in terms of the differences between the people. And somehow effelism is responsible for inciting or inspiring any of that. When, of course, it's not. You can't draw that line, that straight line, anywhere. And all you can do is do a crooked cheat. So they just bend and cheat the truth to create this connection. So they can blame something they don't like for whatever dopey reason. Because its hair is too long or something. The background is too backgroundy. some kind of bullshit. All right. So I'll go find some other stupid quote. I don't want to spend too much time dealing with this, her bullshit. But anyway, so she basically said, there was some 2 years ago she made first contact and I had this insane reaction where I said, I'd rather you didn't publish my real name, okay? It's doxing. You know what doxing is? It's a stupid thing to do to people for no good reason. she couldn't figure that out. Except she can figure it out in a different article where she's answering the questions. Why are you an anonymous coward? Well, because I'm afraid to be doxed. I'm afraid to be harassed for being a journalist. So she needs protection, but I don't. And my family doesn't. So my family doesn't need any protection, but her family does. it's just such duplicity, such hypocrisy. All right, so it says that now 2 years later, Amendum has agreed to speak properly. So I didn't do any speaking with this bitch. All right, didn't happen. Okay. Brief email exchanges. All right, provided I promise not to quote mine him. So she didn't promise not to do any such thing in the sense that she just basically said, I'm going to publish whatever I'm going to publish and I'll put the real questions and answers on my website or some other kind of bullshit. And I said, well, whatever. I just, to end the harassment for this conversation, I just conceded, okay, fine, let's see what you can do. All right. So I answered questions submitted to me in writing. Okay, there was no conversation. So that's what I'll read. Anyway, all right, so I'll see if there's something else. All right, well, I might as well read some. It's just so bad. The connection between effelist ideas and acts of violence has created a crisis among antinatalists. So again, there's no crisis. And antinatalists are, in my opinion, morons. So who cares? I mean, if you're an anti-natalist and you're saying it doesn't include, like Benatar said, animals. Now, you can be an anti-natalist and say, yes, animals are also important. And then you can say, like Benatar, but I'm too much of a coward to claim there's any way to fix it. Okay, we just leave it alone and everything will be fine. Some kind of nonsense like that. All right, anyway, with many believing in Mendham's inflammatory rhetoric. So there's no inflammatory rhetoric. So let's just understand, beyond me saying life sucks, what's the inflammatory rhetoric? I'm saying it's running a deficit, okay? It has too much blood footprint, too much wasted suffering. You're not worth it. That's what I say. I plainly state your stinking, lousy, cruddy function, whatever that is, gas bag, isn't worth the torture required to sustain it. Okay, so fuck you. You suck. That's the statement. All right. Anyway, it contributes to the problem. There's no problem, you know, beyond the fact that for every single subject, there's radicals who do things that don't help the cause at all. Period. So there was plenty of radicals who didn't help the gay cause. Okay, ACT UP, they were a little way out there, extreme. They didn't do the cause any good. I'm sure there's plenty of men who want to take their penis into the girls' room, and they're not doing the cause of trans stuff much good because they're just being kind of obnoxious and rude. You know, so there's lots of people who do shit that isn't any good. It isn't useful. Because they're not making an argument. They want to make some sort of statement, or they want to have some kind of tantrum, and they want to get their name in the paper. So that's what these violent people have done, is basically signature say, I have to be important, I'm going to die in some important way, and you know, I'm going to try to crash my plane into your house. And it's just cheating. I've called it that. I imagined such things in my youth, I have to concede, so it is something stupid young people can do, is to think there's some point in pretending that your hate is useful, okay, and that somehow you can win-win, that you can gratify your hate and do the cause some good, and the fact is you really won't be doing that. All right, this tension culminated in an open letter from an anonymous group of anonymous group publishing my legal name, no doubt, for no reason. You know, so I mean, it's just, you know, what is this bullshit, this unaccountable nonsense? Several years ago, whatever that is, when was several years ago, calling out Amanda and Mendham for inciting violence. So again, and in what way inciting it or inspiring it? In what possible way could anything we have said be in any way contrived into go out and make a mess and stick the sign of the cause in the mess? Yeah, no, I don't think so. It's just so ridiculous. Okay. So then she continues, though when Mendham doesn't confess any to me, he has a kind of sweeping certainty. So, well, if I'm going to be on the internet talking and saying things, I should be certain, shouldn't I? Is there some reason to be babbling or ranting on the internet if you're not pretty certain that you've thought through what you're going to say and figured out how to counter the arguments and then you're pretty certain it's true? I'm not going to say water's wet unless I'm damn sure water's fucking goddamn wet. So that's a sign of, that's a dangerous person, you know, one who thinks about it. Anyway, that suggests either deep wounds or mental illness. So, well, what is this psychobabble? So now she's some sort of psychotherapist that can, you know, so somehow she has a profile of mental illness, and it has something to do with confidence. So anybody who's confident that there's no God, oh, they all belong in the booby hatch. All right, anyway, when someone declares that every authority figure, so again, where did I declare that every authority figure? So what I will say is that everybody with power usually has sought that power for bad reasons, bad causes. They just want the power. They don't want the power to do good. They want the power to steal and connive and cheat. And that's what they're after. They're not after power to serve mankind. They want to cook you. Okay. Yeah. from Nobel laureates to neighborhood priests. So yes, obviously these two categories of asshole are just that, in my opinion, assholes. Okay. As fundamentally misunderstood reality. So your counter, and you've proven that they haven't fundamentally misunderstood reality with what argument? Besides, well, they're still very popular. Have you done anything but just say, they're very popular, so therefore they're right? Right? So that's all she's saying. Popularity makes right. There's nothing else that matters. All right. The question becomes less about physics and more about psychology. So, no, the question is, can you make a real argument instead of just veiled implications? Where I could do the same thing, and I could do the same thing to derive, I could make a statement insulting all women and use you as an example, for example. Look how cliche. Look at the bitch. Clearly resentful, crazy, psychotic bitches. You know, as soon as they get a little bit offended, oh, you can't offend the bitches because then they go insane and key your car. It's the classic psycho bitch. Is that what you deserve? Is that what women deserve? All right, what kind of life produces such wholesale rejection of received wisdom? So what's the received wisdom? Where is that? So where were you qualified to define for all of us what wisdom is? Isn't that what the whole subject is an argument about the fact that what is truly the truth? All right, so you can be confident you know what wisdom is, but I can't be confident I do. So you're just a double standard hypocrite. All right. So here it says, here's a man who has weaponized his disillusionment into an all-consuming philosophical crusade against existence itself. So none of that happened. This crusade thing didn't happen. And all I did was go on the internet and start telling the truth. I mean, there was a point, a day on the internet where I actually said, you know what, I'm just going to get to the, you know, here I can argue about gun laws and I can argue about some other silly shit, but I'm just going to get to the truth that this whole thing isn't worth saving. So as much as I was making videos about things you could do to make society better, the real argument was the best thing you can do is just stop making society, stop making people, stop making organisms to be pointlessly ground up in this pointless system of nonsense, of delusions that we're doing something interesting and worthy when all we're doing is grinding shit. We're just coke machines with some aggrandized notion, you know, that we're selling a good product, you know, and we're not. All right. Watching him in those videos. So in those videos, what? So there's a ton of videos in all kinds of atmospheres with all kinds of moods. And that's just the fact of it. Okay, so and then she says, the hair, the manic certainty, the absolute conviction in his own revelations. I mean, there's no my revelations, is there? Is there really anything I'm arguing that's some sort of new revealed truth except for the physics arguments? I mean, am I really saying something? Nobody ever heard of the fact that, you know, most lion cubs die in their first year of existence. Eight out of nine. that was a revealed truth or something. Nobody could have figured that out. You know, that kind of argument. No, there's nothing. But anyway, I recognize something familiar. Eminem was a Generation X distilled into its essence. So this is bizarre. Generation X, what the fuck are you talking about? If anything, I'm a boomer. it's just hilarious. What are you talking about? Okay. Someone who absorbed all of the broken promises of the Reagan era. So again, exactly, I was there fighting the Reagan era. I have made more than one statement about how that was the day America died. But whatever. I was voting age, okay? I voted against Reagan. What the fuck? All right, and transform them into a philosophy. So just this is just such this all this made up shit. It's a simple argument, just pointing out how nature is very bloody and ugly in its reality, and we're the smartest thing on the earth, and so maybe we should be a little concerned and have some sort of mitigation plan, or admit that it's, you know, beyond our capacity to fix, and so maybe we ought to just prevent it from happening because it's just really bad. You can't concede it's bad. You can't concede that the suffering should, somebody should pay attention. Is that all? I'm asking for something more than for you just to concede that seems like an awful lot of suffering expended. What are we getting for all of that? And I'm arguing the simple, what we're getting is pantomime. I'm a special flower. Blah, blah. You know, you're getting trivial shit for torture. You're paying torture, and you're getting babble and nonsense as something produced. You know, it's like one of those new art things, the modern art things. You know, that aren't art, that aren't creative, that aren't interesting, that aren't pretty, that aren't anything like what you would say the word art should mean. Oh, anyway. Let's see. Though Imendum claims to have felt misanthropic. So these aren't even my terms. So why would you even talk about something when you're not even going to use the terms that the person who, you know, you're talking about would use? This part of the bullshit, frankly. The intellectual origins of Ethelism track back to 2006 when South African philosopher... So why is this the origin of Ethelism? Is Benatar. So nobody knew about Benatar when I started talking about the red button and the fact that there's a real problem that needs a solution and all of that kind of crap. So this is all just made up history. You know, you can't even get this narrative right. If you're going to talk about what happened on mediums like YouTube, well, it certainly wasn't motivated by Benatar. It's just such a lie. You know, the early community of YouTube Antonatus was a collection of dissidents, whatever that even means. Non-happy campers. The non-happy campers. New atheists, which, what do you mean new ones? I think they were just old atheists, frankly. I don't think they were new ones, frankly. I don't think they were Christian converts. And other intellectual misfits. So somehow she's putting atheist in the misfit category. I mean, it's just such bullshit. Okay, so last one. The connection between Ethelist ideas and acts of violence has created a crisis among anti-natalists. So then again, this is just absolute bullshit. The people who have committed violence did so not because, not reciting anything close to the Ethelist Bible. That's the simple truth. They're nihilists, if anything. Pro-mortalism? What the fuck is that? What does that have to do with Ethelism? Oh, that's right, nothing. With many believing in Mendham's inflammatory rhetoric contributed to the problem. So there's just no evidence that they didn't come here with a problem, that they weren't looking for a solution, okay? They were looking for a place that gave out uniforms so they could wear a uniform. That's all they wanted. You know, they wanted to belong to something, and this was as close as they could find. Because there wasn't any club that said, yeah, it's really a great idea to go shoot up a school. So again, there's absolutely no connection for any, just there's no element of philosophical connection you could really understand between sympathy for the condition in which animals are tormented and tortured and shooting kids in a school. What's the correlation? Oh, that's right. There can't be any. There isn't any. It's the most insane comparison. I mean, you might as well blame house painters. I mean, I can't, you know, jackhammer guys or something. It's their fault that they drove a kid to want to go do something insanely stupid. I mean, just doesn't make any sense. you know, that there's any incitement or encouragement or anything saying you must go out and act up. You know, and they're not, you know, if they were rescuing animals, you know, if they were actually going to a shelter somewhere, and you know, there's a bunch of police and they fought through the bullets and to go open the cage and let the animal free, you know, and died that way. No, that's not how they're dying. They're not on any kind of rescue mission. Anyway, this tension culminated in an open letter from the anonymous. Okay, she's saying the same thing again. So fuck that. Anyway. All right, so we're going to get to reading. Okay, what they submitted as silly points or arguments. So the one guy just made an argument, and I countered it. His argument, sentence by sentence, and the woman presented the questions, and I answered them. And frankly, there's no connection between what she wrote and the actual questions and answers. So there was just a waste of time because she didn't use anything in those questions and answers in the article. Obviously she went fishing and she didn't catch anything. All right, let's finally get to reading some of this stuff. All right, so obviously these journalists are low watt. So obviously nothing's been generated as any controversy, and there hasn't been any, you know, nobody's been flooding to the channel or any of that stuff. So it probably isn't worthy of me setting any records straight, but I think it needs to be done just now and then. I mean, you know, there's just these people that do all this ragging and create all of this fake news. This is all, you know, in a sense, Godfrey's creation of this controversy and this animosity and whatever. So it's all stimulated by the haters, okay, in terms of creating whatever dysfunction they can in any dishonest way possible. So it's all just poorly motivated individuals, cheaters. All right, Catherine, if you have any follow-up questions, I'm willing to answer a few. I publish under the name Inmendum and would appreciate being referred to by that name rather than my legal name, Gary. So that she calls some sort of hysterical rant. you know, like somehow I'm so panicked. No, it just seems a reasonable courtesy. And if you can't, you know, if you can't provide the reasonable courtesy, yes, I'm going to have a negative opinion of your character because it's a reasonable request. All right. So she says, the first question, tell me a bit about yourself, your upbringing, how you view yourself and what you do. So I said, very briefly, none of the important questions had reasonable answers. So the simple truth was, you're brought up by assholes. And I hate to call my parents that, but, you know, frankly, they were assholes. They didn't, you know, they hadn't thought ahead of time. Well, what do we tell the kid when he asks the question, like, why does that guy only have one leg? Or why is Grandpa dying horribly? They didn't have answers for any of the important questions. And, you know, and so, yeah, if you're a reasonable kid, you're going to say, fuck them. You know, I can't go to them for the answers. If I want to know the truth, I'm going to have to look under some other rock because mommy and daddy don't know it. So I have spent my life seeking those reasonable answers. And so you figure out that all the people, all the things that are supposed to be credible and the things that are supposed to have the smart hat on really have the dunce cap on. They're just the full of shit hats. All these people that are supposed to have integrity, you find out they're terrible people in their real life and blah, blah, blah. And it's just very disappointing that you can't trust humans. And you have to really seek the truth, touch it yourself, you know, because you can't trust what somebody else says it feels like. Looking back, is there a principle or habit your parents drilled into you that later evolved into the central ideals of Effelism? It's just so funny. My parents were essentially Stepford parents. So my parents were perfectly decent, trying to do the right thing kind of people. They didn't have any sinister intrigue, back life, secret life kind of crap. Okay, so they were just really quite harmless in that sense. They existed in a social Borg I had no interest in joining. So, yes, I looked at their life and I said, why the fuck would I choose to live that life? And, you know, that's just desperately hoping that's not going to be my doomy future, to be one of these frumpy dumpies, you know, living this what's for dinner life. I don't want to be, I don't want the most interesting thing I do being whether I have dessert with my, you know, pudding or something, you know, double pudding for dessert or something. You know, no, I don't want that to be what I live for. Fuck. Anyway, how, if all, would you say your fam? So why all this obsession? See, they all think that the belief has to come from somewhere. Like, you can't just sit on Earth, observe animals destroying each other, and say, gee, that doesn't look right. That's not possible. That can't possibly happen, that you just sit there and observe something. Something must have told you to observe it. So all the people who are effulous, they had to be told to be effulous. They had to be, you know, forcibly dragged to it, and, you know, their noses had to be rubbed in it. Oh, it's just such bullshit. These people, I don't, you know, what the fuck do they think? You're just wondering, what is their philosophical bent? Okay, that they think this is what they, this is how they think. They're just like whatever their family made them. Is that how they live? All right. How, if all, would you say your family life influenced your philosophical development? My family was neither a hindrance nor a help, but I certainly would say having three sisters gave me a capacity to see women as more than something to possess. So that's the only thing you could say, that your family life can give you an insight based on the fact of whether you had brothers and sisters. Now, maybe if I had a brother, I would have been a lunatic because he would have beat me up all the time or some other kind of bullshit. But certainly having sisters did make it obvious that I lived in a pretty chauvinistic world, and, you know, that my fellow males were just trying to use, you know, just trying to, you know, take what they could take, you know, and weren't very aware of the fact that they're doing it to another human being, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yes, you gain an awareness of, you know, that it is a different world for men and women anyway. Was. It's getting better. Can you trace a line from those first-hand encounters, so she's assuming there were some, with bodily suffering to your conclusion that existence overall is a negative-sum game? So I mean, what is there to say? How do you make it into a positive sum game without the bullshit? So what you would really say is, well, why didn't you accept all of the bullshit that somehow it's a circle of life thing and somehow it all makes sense and it's all profitable somehow? You know, the baby elephant being eaten alive. It's, so yeah, we're doing lots of stuff that's worth that. You know. Here we are? Anyway, the conclusion might have existed before the hard evidence. Children are lied about Santa Claus, Easter rabbits, silver linings. The fact that my parents were making up nonsense mush as answers to real questions made it clear that the honest answers must be too horrible to be spoken. So that was the underlying fear. So even though I had an affinity with nature, I fit in it much better than I fit into civilization in a lot of ways. I had a clear foreboding, okay, that it is fundamentally broken. But I couldn't believe that as a kid, you know, until I could make this separation from the fact that I've been programmed to be human. All right. Was there a catalyst episode of suffering your own, someone close to you that crystallized your later worldview? I can't say anything crystallized. I just become better at using vocabulary to describe what I see and feel. I suppose I should have, you know, I could have added things like, yeah, every time you watched somebody you cared about die, your grandfather and then your grandmother and then this and then that and your sister, and you know, any every single one of them crystallizes, hardens some part of you and basically fractures, you know, cracks your soul. Yeah. Okay. Was there a particular book, event, experience that pushed all this crap about, you know, just mush. This is all irrelevant. Was there a particular book, event, experience that pushed you to develop ephelism? So again, ephelism was just a distinction saying humans aren't the only thing that suffer on Earth. So, I mean, that's all it is, you know. All right. I was always an ephelist in that nature's cruelty is obvious. The utility of the word is just to make a clear distinction between empathetic philosophies, human-centric versus any sentient animal-centric. So you're just basically arguing that, yes, I understand we are just animals. We're only a few hundred thousand years from being obviously animals. You know, where we didn't have any education, where we didn't know anything, barely knew how to make a fire. So, I mean, all of this is just, you know, a simple argument that humans aren't doing something special in terms of value. Their welfare isn't more important. Okay, a tortured chimpanzee and a tortured human, there really isn't enough of a distinction. You built Minim's first civic website and later spent 7 years suing town officials for transparency. How did that struggle plant the seeds of institutional skepticism we hear in your philosophy? Well, I mean, obviously the skepticism was produced by the very fact that you found that every single person you ran into that had any power was a corrupt piece of shit that you had no interest in a fact or the truth. All right. Sadly, these experiences taught me nothing beyond forcing the realization that there was no real fair justice or accountability in America. Yeah, you could just sit in court for 7 years because they don't want to address your subject because they're going to have to concede that you were cheated. And they don't want to make the concession, so they drag it out for 7 fucking years. And it's, you know, you have to go to a federal appeals court just to get the right to say, you know, somebody's cheated me. You know, you can't even make the argument because you have long hair. You know, and they don't like it. All right. What moment or idea triggered that shift from municipal matters to universal suffering? So obviously I was never obsessed with municipal matters. It just happened that those circumstances happen, other shit happens to you, lots of different things. You can have, you know, you can stub your toe and then you can jam your finger, you know, you can have both injuries at the same time. Anyway, there never was any shift of anything. At 18, I was in many ways the same person I am now. I have just become more articulate. There is no origin date embossed in my brain. So there really isn't a date where, you know, you become finished being something. And so I'd say I was just more and more organized in understanding the subject as time passed. But I understood this at 11. If you had a conversation with me, I would have pointed out that I'm pretty uneasy about what the fuck goes on in nature. Let's see. You create the term ephelism, life spelled backwards, to distance yourself from what you saw as logically weak antinatalist arguments. Yes, insipidly silly nonsense. You know, about how it's civilization that's the problem or some other kind of nonsense. What specific weakness were you aiming to correct? The weak logic that feelings are a big brain only human event. So that's the simple argument. It's just about not antinatalism for humans. It's just antinatalism for all things capable of producing an egg, so to speak. I think the facts clearly indicate that feeling good and bad is a very old evolutionary function that is not more substantially experienced by humans. Stating it with crude brevity, animals are just less smart than humans, trapped in a cruel cycle of pointless disease and death. So, and what's your solution? It's to the absolute fact. Again, I mean, I've asked the questions. I mean, in this thing, I asked the question of the other asshole, and we get to his comments. If you had to do the, if you had to be the Grim Reaper, could you inject the kid with cancer? Because, well, the rules say so. They have to, it has to happen. could you kick to death the 8 little lion cubs so the one can live to maturity and then be kicked to death? All right, in plain language, how do you draw a sharp boundary between antinatalism, ethicism, and pro-mortalism for newcomers? So, I don't even know what pro-mortalism is. I still don't. I don't much like the term natalism, so yes, that's been the truth from the very beginning. It's queer. Yeah, I don't like it. I'm clearly anti-creation, anti-imposition, anti-silly fables, etc. So, you can't make it any clearer. Your old fake notions of purpose and function are just that, old fake notions. All right. What key nuance do utilitarianism and mainstream antinatalism miss that ethicism captures? I don't remember my answer to this. Let's see. The experience of having positive and negative sensations is the core value in the universe. So that's the utilitarian part. You're just saying there is something I can figure out. If I had to, a small pain today is worth preventing a huge pain tomorrow. So if I could, kick one person in the nuts today and it prevents 10 people from getting kicked in the nuts tomorrow, well, logically, I got to do the math and say, yeah, I kicked the one today. It's just mathematically sensible. Things can only mean something if they affect what something will feel, something that feels will feel. So, I mean, the only things in the universe that can have value is associated value in the sense of it has to affect something that feels. And if it doesn't affect anything feeling, it can't possibly have any value. Feelings happen in brains, and lots of animal organisms have brains capable of creating feelings. So I think I brought up in the video that never got published because I didn't have the microphone on. But it is an interesting fact. I was thinking about ether and the fact that you can anesthetize a fruit fly with ether. Because I was thinking about an experiment when I was a kid in biology where we put fruit flies to sleep to see what color eyes they had and count them, whatever. And so it was just interesting that I was saying, well, if ether puts bugs to sleep, then yeah, maybe you could use that to anesthetize the entire planet, and just not let them wake up. And that might be a pretty idealistically harmless way to discontinue the experiment. Who are the philosophical and non-philosophical thinkers you most shaped your view, and how do they surface in ethicism? So again, this assumption that somehow you need these leaders to tell you how to think, and you can't do any of this ABC thinking for yourself. And the real truth is you're better off doing it yourself because they do it so badly. And that's what I found in the physics arguments, is scientists suck at science. and philosophers suck at philosophy. All right. I don't really have any mentors. I could acknowledge a few fellow travelers like Jack Kevorkian. Sadly, most non-religious natural philosophy is human-centric wooey mush. So, yes, most philosophical books are 99% just a waste of your time. Your draft science physics work rests on a model of fields, momentum, and friction. So it really doesn't. Fields. No. Probably better stated as very small moving bits of force and small pushable bits of matter, electrons and protons. So I like that you know, I can drag these people into this other subject, because I just love for them to try to defend, you know, the status quo, unproven science. Could you sketch that picture and explain how it grounds your ethics? So that doesn't even make any sense. My physics insights haven't had any real effect on my philosophical observations. You don't need to understand physics to understand the value of suffering, torment, and torture. So it can't make it much more obvious. And all it is really about just recognizing that it's bad. And the fact is that people won't say it. You know, and that's what the job of religion is to just make it justifiable. Somehow you're going to a paradise, so your torment and torture is worth it because you're going to a forever paradise. Some kind of fake deal to bribe you into submission. And that's all that's been done, is fake, phony promises that it was worth it. And it won't be. Would the emergence of true AI consciousness... So there's no such thing as AI consciousness. You're never going to create a synthetic feeling thing. It's not really possible. You need a billion years of evolution to do it. Alter any effortless conclusions. How do you feel about AI more broadly? No, AI will never feel. It's just a well-grammared groupthink. Algorithms do not understand concepts. They just know what words people like to put close to each other. So, yeah, I don't have a very high opinion of AI shit. Anyway, from the first handful of subscribers to today's community, what were the key milestones in the online growth of Effelism? So I found this kind of funny. Growth. All right, I'm not much of a fan of the community thing. Hard for me to relate to concepts like growth and milestones. I still only have a handful of subscribers, and I'm quite disappointed with my performance. On the other hand, I'm gratified that more people are using the term and talking about what it really means to be alive. So that's the only part that really matters, is that people recognize that the story of life really is understanding the existence of brains, and understanding what brains are doing is just attempting to lay eggs. And they're doing it very expensively. Let's see, which current contact communicate. So again, this you have to be associated, you have to be connected, you have to be a group. Which current creators or communicators do you regard as the most rigorous or insightful exposers of Effelism, and why? Plain truth is, I wish there was somebody doing what I do better than I do it, so I wouldn't have to do it. Yeah, that's the truth. I'd like to do... fun things. Okay. And this isn't fun. But I would add that channels like Life Sucks, Glenos, and Gray Tai Cho add substantial value and innovation. So it is true that there are people, advocates, fellow travelers, let's call them, people who have likewise drawn negative conclusions regarding the function of the biological organism. And that do a good job. Okay. Let's see. What about thinkers outside of Effelism? If you're outside of Effelism, you can't be much of a thinker. So, yeah, I mean, frankly, if you haven't observed the bloody tooth and claw nature of nature, then you're really pretty too damn stupid to be bothered with having a conversation with you. Are there critics or sympathetic outsiders whose pushback has meaningfully refined your argument? The critics are pathetically cheap tricksters, just like her. All they have is distortion and Photoshop. Can't say I've ever seen even a couple of sentences of rational counter-argument. So there's no counter-argument. They're just saying, yes, I'm worth torturing animals for. What I'm doing in my silly, stupid life is worth torturing animals for. That's all they're saying. That's their argument. is they think they are worth it. And they think they have a right to impose their silly notions on somebody else as a risk. That because they believe life works out for the in the end okay, they can impose it on somebody because they believe it. And they don't think that's rude and obnoxious. To impose risk somehow to them is not rude and obnoxious. It's not something to be avoided. It's something to do enthusiastically. So in spite of the very notion where she's saying, I'm too confident, and then she's not going to mock the confidence of the pro-lifers who are basically saying, I'm going to force you to be invested in my silly delusions of reality. My belief in God is a substantial enough, a credible enough belief that I can impose it on you. I mean, the religious kooks have admitted. I mean, there's some very famous religious kooks who have admitted it, that if it turns out there's no God, you know, they were wrong and life sucks and it's horrible. They admit that they'd kill themselves if they found out there was no God. All right. Your channels have been terminated and reinstated multiple times. Well, the reinstatement part doesn't happen much. How have those experiences altered your communication style and your trust, if any, in large platforms? Not much of a fan of capitalism and being controlled by corporate ethics. There should be a public option minimum internet where you just pay the real cost to publish your fairly apportioned free speech. So we should just have our free speech rights. They shouldn't be corporate speech rights. And that's it. You know, and you just, obviously it costs money to publish. And so, yes, you should have to pay the minimum fee. I would think the government should give us all, you know, 100 videos a year for free or whatever the thing would be. You know, a fair apportionment of a capacity to produce content on the internet. Let's see. Supporters call your rhetoric necessary honesty. I don't know what supporter. Critics find it harsh. How do you decide where to set the line on tone and personal attack? So I didn't set any line. That's the whole point. I didn't think it was really an obligation to set a line, you know, to be filtered, okay? So in hindsight, I say, okay, yes, I should have been filtered. I should have filtered myself. I shouldn't have been me, okay? And I should have, you know, just because of the fact that the abusers will take advantage. So you can't tell too many jokes. You can't be too lighthearted. You can't, you know, be sloppy in your rhetoric. You can't say, oh, yeah, they should shoot speeders. You know, they should just, you know, throw grenades in their window. Or so you can't say anything, you know. And that's, frankly, just very tragic. But the truth is that people don't care about the truth. They just care about whatever source they say is their source, and they'll believe whatever crap that source says. And it doesn't have to be honest. And that's just tragic. All right. It has taken many years. Torture is a very emotional subject. Okay, yeah. Torture is a very emotional subject. It has taken me many years for me to control those emotions enough to prevent unuseful emotional outbursts. So, yes, in a few cases, I get really pissed off because, frankly, the stakes are so high and these glib assholes are basically just mocking torture. And it's disgusting. The ideal of real can often be badly compromised by too many filters. And so that's where I'm doing filters suck. It sucks to have to do the internet that way. Online spaces discussing ethicalism can, don't necessarily attract people in crisis. Well, there's no point in saying that don't necessarily. I mean, it does. I mean, there's no way to discuss the, you know, stupidity and the waste of existence without, you know, attracting people who empathize with that condition because they're really suffering. So you're going to attract broken people to a philosophy defending not making broken people. What obligations, if any, does effortlessism creator have towards viewers who are suicidal or self-harming, and how do you handle such situations? All right, so my simple statement was, it's pretty hard to make real philosophy child safe, so you can't, you know, you can't water it down with anything. There's you know, there's no proper way to dilute the truth in this case. People are fooled by scammers every day, and society doesn't do much to prevent it. Watch some of the advertisements on that YouTube puts on videos. It's just shameless abuse of the stupid. The fact that the truth won't set you free from your misery isn't something I can fix. So the fact is that, yes, if you don't want the truth, don't take the pill, so to speak. Don't hit the play button. Because maybe the truth will hurt. I mean, it's a fact that somebody can, you know, be kind of, they look fat in that dress. You know, and if somebody says the words, it somehow that means, you know, the truth did it. Was the truth hurtful, or was the person who said it hurtful? Yeah, so it's just kind of silly. I mean, obviously the facts aren't, there's lots of facts that aren't pleasant. The fact that the truth might cause you misery is also something I can't fix. So, yes, it's just, there's no way to fix that. If you said, you've said that if total suffering could truly end, any means necessary would be justified. Where is your non-negotiable moral boundary today? If you could prevent 10 people from having cancer by giving 9 people cancer, wouldn't you be rationally obligated to do it? So even though it's a tiny gain, it's a huge gain. One person isn't going to have cancer that would have had cancer. In one day on Earth, there's an amount of suffering endured too massive to be imagined. Multiply that by a million or a billion. How could any cure I propose be worse than letting that disease take its course? So again, you really can't conceive of a way of fixing it that could be worse than leaving it broken. There's just no conceivable way you can misapply the hammer to this thing. this because it's so bad. It's so bad that it wouldn't matter how horribly you killed it, because it's so bad. I don't know how else to say that. It's causing so much misery every millisecond that it wouldn't, you know, there's no such thing as killing it too fast. Anyway, if society embraced effortless conclusions tomorrow, which first wave policies would you press for? So, again, you don't even need them, except the policy of educating kids. And so if you educate kids, fact is they won't have enough babies to sustain human population. So that's the consequence of an education, is a lack of interest in procreating. Effortlessism is about prevention. Some easy social improvements would be removing all the financial subsidies provided to procreators. Force them to pay the freight for their pets. I envision an effortless future as a graceful decline in human population, and then the last few of the last generation gracefully disinfect the planet. So, ether. yeah. Administer the ether. Okay, looking 10 years ahead, which metric, birth rate decline, legislative change, cultural references would most convincingly signal that effortlessism is succeeding? So this is always the funny question. It's already succeeding. It doesn't need to succeed. It's already succeeding in any place where there is a sophisticated culture. High school educated humans have a birth rate that would inevitably lead to extinction. So it's just a fact. So if you can just high school educate the world, we have all become effortless without believing in it. Poor, uneducated people reproduce at a much higher rate, and we should use incentives and disincentives to encourage them to reproduce less recklessly. It should be understood that the educated humans are already behaving like effortless regarding their birth rate. And again, take away all the subsidies and the other nonsense, and it's going to be even more dramatic. What is the single biggest misunderstanding about evolution, even among sympathetic antinatalists? Do you believe people even accurately define evolution? Well, you're a perfect example of the inability to accurately define anything. It really is this simple. Feelings make value, brains make feelings, and animals have brains that feel. So that's it. That's evolution. All right. The philosophy is not a prescription. So this is a really big one, too. The philosophy is not a prescription. It's a diagnosis. So, yes, Benatar is an evolist. Okay. He sees the diagnosis is you're running a deficit. You're losing money. Okay. He just doesn't want to do anything about it. Yeah. There's no reasonable justification for misunderstanding. So, yes. So, evolism is just the fact that you recognize that the blood footprint, the waste, and that you're running a deficit, that there's nothing we're producing that's of enough value to justify the value lost in terms of the wasted torture. That's the simple conclusion. And obviously another more complicated question is, what do you do about it? And obviously I think the do about it is when the time's right, you open a bottle of ether. Yeah. At a high level, how would you chart the evolution of your own ideas? The evolution is just more elaborate and colorful verbiage. So yes, all I've done is find better ways to analogize and state the situation, but that's it. Finally, what question about your journey or the philosophy itself do you wish interviewers would ask but almost never do? I wish there wasn't enough misunderstanding to necessitate question asking. So I don't understand why this is so hard to understand. I mean, I can't understand nihilism. So if you don't think there's value in the universe, and yet you're a sentient organism that can feel good and can feel bad, and you don't think there's a difference, that feeling bad is just as good as feeling good, I'm saying I can't. I could spend a million years contemplating that, and I can't fucking, there's no hope I'm ever going to be able to figure out what the fuck your brain has done to make that big a mess. How can you not figure out there are, there's a gigantic difference between feeling good and feeling bad. Just an absolute gigantic difference. And the difference is all in the category of good and bad, positive, negative, up, down, profit, loss. It's clearly profitable to feel good. It's clearly tragically destructive to feel bad. All right, so that's enough of her. And so this is the other asshole. So maybe I will, I might as well cut it into two videos. So I guess I'll do that. I just have to figure out whether I want to do a part two later or now. But anyway, I'll think about it. And then I'll make a decision. And you'll find out about it. when the video's published. Yes, much later. Anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.